Good morning. 6:23 a.m. July the 18th, a Thursday morning. I'm 14. Oh my God, I broke it. 14:55. Yeah, it's close to 15 minutes, but it's under. It's not a little bit, but it's under 15 minutes. Talk about your personal best. There's a reason my shins are screaming. I hope I can finish the second mile. Oh, God, that hurts. So I knew I had a pretty good pace going, over and above the fact that the pain was telling me I was pushing harder. Because I've been watching the time on the Endomondo application, and I discovered that if I put it on walking, I don't get a lap time. If I put it on running, I get a lap time. So I'm running very slowly, but I get the lap time out of it. And I was watching the time, and the time varies. I'm not sure exactly what it is that drives the timer, but it'll drop way down, and then it'll come up slowly, slowly, slowly. And it'll reach a peak, and it'll drop way down, and come up slowly, slowly, slowly. Good morning. Good morning. And I was watching the time, and the time was popping up at like 14:10. 14:15, and then going back down again. Usually it drops, it comes up to like 15 and a half, 16 and a half. And when it wasn't going above 14, where I wasn't seeing 15 something, I knew I had a good time going. But the problem was the last quarter mile, my shins started hurting so badly. It's all I can do to stumble along. I'm gonna try to stretch them out by changing my pace up a bit here. So yeah, sweat. I has one. 14:55. Woohoo. And just before I left the house, I went over 16,000 words on the Greedock story. I'm almost halfway. I'm very nearly halfway. With any luck, if I get my two good writing periods in today, I could break the midpoint today. And I also have some words that I've saved from some previous iterations. And I think are going to work quite well as closer. So yeah, there's some room here. There's light, perhaps, at the end of this tunnel. At least enough for me to get elbow room in order to get double share out between sending it to Scott and getting his edits back. And having a complete story will mean those edits can be more directive and less, well, could you put some of this in? And I'm sure I'm going to get, well, can you put some of this in? But at least I'll have a full story. I'll have the words that go together, and he can, in fact, I'll probably have more than enough so he can chop out the bits that he doesn't like. So the plot is swirling in my head. That's why I've suddenly become quiet, because I'm thinking. I'm thinking about, I gotta find Choto the Bright somewhere. I've already figured out where to get Vyrak the Mean. And I'm pretty sure I know where to get Yal and the Self-Sacrificing. He's a nice to have, but not necessary, but I think I can put him in there. The importance of Yolan, the Self-Sacrificing, is that he becomes the mayor of Ionath City during the current Sigler stories. So he's got a little cameo coming up, I think. So yeah, they've already killed some of their enemies, some of their opponents, some of the other bad guys. And I'm in such pain. I did get a coffee this morning. I did get at least a half a cup before I had to leave the house. So that was a step in the right direction. I got up around 5:30. I'm just sort of grazing through my feed reader and checking out anything new on the internet. Chris Rush has a article today on the Business Rush about J.K. Rowling's Robert Galbraith pseudonym. It's an interesting take on blaming the author and the publishers who are engaged in it. And Chris is using it, and I think quite rightly, Monkpole. I think quite rightly she's using it to underscore the current status of publishing, mainstream in particular. And for whatever else you might think about Chris Rush and her and her writing and her marketing. She's very good at examining her own foibles. I don't necessarily come to conclusions that I think are terribly logical all the time, but it's all right. One of the comments she makes at the end of this piece was that a year ago, 5 years ago, yeah, I guess 5 years ago, she says, she still would have thought this. In fact, this is an old thing that has been going on. This is not something that's new, which sort of argues for this isn't really an example of a change in publishers' attitudes toward writers, as it underscores the length and the depth to which it sinks and how long it's been going. I'll get through this eventually. So it was interesting. And what she said was, she would have thought this years ago, but she wouldn't have said it for fear of being labeled a troublemaker. But now she doesn't need them, so they can label her all they like. Which, coming from somebody with such heavy mainstream chops, with such a rep in the mainstream business, that's saying something. She and Dean both say he still needs to write short stories and sell them to the mainstream publications so that they do your advertising. It is not a bad strategy. It isn't. But even Dean says writing novels and writing short stories are different skills. They're not just cut down novels. That's one of the problems. They're not just a bonsai book. They are stories. But they are stories that lack the movement, that lack the breadth. Good morning. That lack the arc. Now they have an arc, but it's a really short one, obviously. So you don't get try-fail cycles. You get try cycles, and then maybe you fail, or maybe you don't. And actually, I think of all the short stories that I've read, the first fail cycle is like at 25%, and then the middle of the book is a recovery, and then the last middle of the story. The last 1,000 words are the denouement. And I think of the short story that I wrote for his workshop that he liked so much. There was no try-fail cycle. There was a setup. There was rising action as the main character came to some understandings about herself. And as her memories become more accessible to the reader, and the question, the big question is, wow, what's going to happen next? What is she going to do? And the fact that there's this red herring staring you in the face, and you're thinking, oh, is he really going to? And he really doesn't. But the question is there, and so it's sort of a mind game that I play with the reader. And in the end, there is this confrontational moment where you learn that there was a lot more going on in her life than she knew. But that she was offered another chance to be part of it. So I can write a short story. I do know what a short story is supposed to be. And I keep saying it takes me longer to write a short story than it does to write a novel. Noisy truck. But I think the reality of that has more to do with whether or not I have an idea and for lack of a better term, a mandate to write a short story. I didn't have any choice at the workshop. I thought about it for like 2 days, and on the last possible moment, sat down and started grinding the story out. And it came off. Good morning. Oh, this is going to be a noisy walk here through the last mile. The last 50 yards between the welding truck going by and now my mowing buddy here. Giving some room to move. Seventeen minutes on the backside. That's not too shabby. Ow. Ow, ow, ow. $14.55. Wow. But here I am. I'm at the back gate. My feet, my ankles, my shins are so sore. I'm ready for some coffee. Maybe a bit of toast. Oh, my bread machine broke. I had to order a new pan yesterday. It's disappointing. At any rate, tomorrow's another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.